Again, good morning. How's everybody? That's what I thought. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Aren't you glad for the blood of Jesus Christ? Aren't you? Aren't you? I'm telling you. I know from where I came from, I know what I've been saved from, but I know who I've been saved to. And the question now is, now that I have that salvation, the blood of Jesus Christ, am I going to give it away to anybody? And that's what we're going to talk about for the next 2 days. I want you to think about that. Thanks for letting me ministering with you for a couple days. Every second, 7 people die. By the time you put your head on your pillow tonight, over 600,000 people have walked off into eternity, heaven or hell as we speak. Got a very simple question for you, Cedarville. Do you care? Much tougher question, though. Do you care enough to do something about it? Because trust me on a simple fact. If you do not care enough to do something about it, trust me, you do not care. And I'll go ahead and tell you, that's the problem we got with the American church today. We swear to the high heavens we care where all these people are going to spend eternity, but I don't care enough to get in a conversation with my next door neighbor, with one of my friends from high school. Think about that. What's it going to take if you get out of your comfort zone? Bill Bright, Campus Crusade for Christ, says 2% of all American Christians share their faith on a regular basis. Does that sound like the book of Acts to you? Doesn't sound like the book of Acts to me. Promise Keepers just said that 90% of all Christian men have never shared their faith one single time. Does that sound like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to you? Paul to you? Peter to you? What have we done? We've formed a type of Christianity in 2003 that did not exist 2,000 years ago. We've made sharing our faith an optional part of Christianity. It was never an optional part. It was what we were living for, to see 6 billion people saved. Does your heart beat that way? What's it going to take if you get out of your comfort zone? I hear there's already people out of their comfort zone here at this school. Okay, I'm going to challenge you to get farther out. If you're not out of your comfort zone, I'm about to challenge you to get out of it. Okay, and to stay out of it. What's it going to take for that to happen? How many more American soldiers do you need to see on TV with a bullet hole in the back of their head after they've been executed over in Iraq before you can get out of your comfort zone? I was on a plane flight 2 months ago to Colorado Springs, and I sat with a whole group of soldiers from Fort Carson. They were just flying back. They were in Iraq for a while. And as we were on the plane, I sat next to a soldier and got to talk with him the entire plane flight. 15 of their fellow soldiers were killed dead in Iraq, never made it back. We had a great talk on the flight. When we got off the plane, there were all these wives and girlfriends waiting on the soldiers when they come off. It was a really cool reunion. And all of a sudden it hit me. There's 15 people, 15 wives and girlfriends that did not need to come to the airport that day because their boyfriend or their husband did not make it back from Iraq. What's it going to take to get out of your comfort zone? Anyone died here at Cedarville? Anyone died here? Nod your head, yes or no. Anyone died here in the last couple of years? Okay, think about that. I just spoke at the University of Florida the other day, 800 college students. Said, anyone died here at your school? They said, yeah. I said, when? They said, yesterday. Atlanta, Georgia, where I live at, we had 24 teenagers dead in 4 months. 24. That's crazy. University of Georgia had 11 students die in one semester. 11 people your age die in one semester. What's it going to take if you get out of your comfort zone? One thing that happened to me was I was teaching Bible at a Christian high school. I walked into a bathroom at 8:35 in the morning after a 15-year-old student had put a gun in his mouth and pulled the trigger. When you walk into a bathroom at 8:35 in the morning with a 15-year-old boy laying in a pool of blood that looks like a scene from a Hollywood movie, you have some serious questions to ask yourself. You're still going to keep living the same old mediocre Christian life, Mark Cahill, or are you going to start getting out of your comfort zone and start serving the God of this universe like you're supposed to? I had some serious questions to ask myself. And that's one of the defining characteristics in my life, to get out of my comfort zone and start standing up for what I believe, no matter what the cost. Is there a cost when you stand up for it? Is there a cost when you stand up for it? Is there a cost when you stand up for it? You better believe there's a cost for it. Jesus Christ knew it, but he knew his dad was worth it. The question is, when am I going to get to the point that I know my God is worth it? No matter what the cost. Every second, 7 people die. By the time you put your head on your pillow tonight, over 600,000 people have walked off into eternity, heaven or hell as we speak. Simple question for you, Cedarville. Do you care? Much tougher question, though, okay? Do you care enough to do something about it? That's what we're going to talk about for the next couple of days. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for just a great chance to be here. Thank you for opening up this door, Father God. Thank you so much for Cedarville University training, equipping young people to be men and women of God. They're going to impact this culture. But Father God, we can't wait to impact this culture when we graduate. We need to impact it now. And right now, Father God, maybe some of us walked in here like a Peter who denied you three times, but maybe we'll walk out here like a Peter that's going to be crucified upside down. Father God, we may have walked in like a Saul that didn't even know you, but we're going to walk out here like a Paul that's going to radically transform this culture. And Father God, I hope and pray something very special is going to happen, and you glorify your name, and we thank you for it, and we do. We ask it in the great name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. Okay, first point is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Okay, I was reading this one day, and God just began to drill me. Okay, I was looking at this verse, and watch what this says. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and this is where you get the gifts of the Spirit. When you hear people talk about the gifts of the Spirit, this is where they get it from. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the effecting of miracles, to another prophecy, and to another distinguishing of spirits, and to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. So here's all the gifts when you hear people talking about. I was reading this one day, I was looking at this, okay? Gifts of faith, healing, prophecy, tongues, interpreting tongues, and all of a sudden something hit me. I was looking at this. Do you see the gift of Bible reading up here? Do you see the gift of Bible reading? Do y'all see it? Gift of Bible reading? I didn't see it either because it hit me real hard. Bible reading is not a gift. It's an issue of obedience or disobedience, all right? Does the Bible tell you to read the Bible? Does it? Does it? Do not let this law depart from your mouth. Meditate upon it day and night, Joshua says. I've hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you, it says in the book of Psalms. We have to be putting that word in us. Listen to me. As the end times roll on and days begin to press on, as you see Satan moving in your culture, make it real simple, okay? Make sure you know that Bible better than any textbook you ever read in your entire life. Make sure you know that Bible better than any newspaper or TV show you the rest of your life. Read that word, obey that word, and you will shine like the stars of the universe. If you do not, there'll be trouble coming up in your future. But I kept looking at this, and I was looking at these different gifts up here, and I did not see the gift of, do you see the gift of prayer? I didn't see the gift of prayer up here. And all of a sudden it hit me, praying is not a gift, okay? It's an issue of obedience or what? An issue of obedience or what? Disobedience. Does the Bible tell you to pray? Pray without ceasing. Walk through your life and pray. Bill Brown and I had breakfast this morning and we were praying, and as he was praying, he's going on a trip today, and he was praying that God would guide him, okay, to meet the right people on this trip that he's supposed to minister to. Are you praying for your band that's taken off, that they're going to minister to the right people? God isn't sent out there just to perform. He sends us out there to minister and glorify his name. Praying without ceasing. I do that all the time as I walk through airports and I walk through my life. God, who do you want me to hand a tract to? Who do you want me to engage in conversation, Father God, to glorify your name? But I kept looking at this, and you know what? I did not see the gift of tithing. Do you see the gift of tithing in here? And you know, if you tithe, it ain't no gift, is it? There's no way, okay? Because it hit me. Tithing's not a gift. It's an issue of obedience or what? Disobedience. Does the Bible tell you to tithe? Does it? Of course it tells you to tithe. Matter of fact, it says if you don't tithe, it's just like you're robbing from who? You're stealing from God. Isn't that interesting? Okay? We know stealing's wrong, but yet we'll steal from God every single week. If you don't learn how to tithe now as a young person, why do you think you'll do it later in life when you get some money in your pocket finally? Let me ask you a question. If you reached over the person next to you, as long as it wasn't your spouse, and reached in their pocket, grabbed $10, put it in your pocket, would it bother you at all? Would it bother if you stole $10 from them? But isn't it funny? We'll steal from God every single week. It doesn't even bother us. It doesn't even put sweat on our forehead. It doesn't even bother us. Average tithe in the American church is 1.5 to 2%. It's supposed to be what percent? 10%. How much of the money does God own anyways? How much? All of it. 1.5 to 2%. Isn't that interesting? Because some of your churches have a hard time paying these light bills. That means we don't have extra money for God's service, doing ministering work. Isn't that interesting? I just heard this the other day. If every single church in America adopts one family below the poverty line, every single family below a poverty line would have one church that could invest and minister them. Think about that. One family per church, that's it. But because we don't have any extra money to be ministering to people, Satan says, thank you. Those families now, instead of going to the church to get help, where do they go? The government to get help, exactly. And what can't the government give them? They can't give them the Jesus Christ they so desperately need, because I won't tithe and do correctly and do that. Think about that. It is not a gift, okay, tithing. It's an issue of obedience or disobedience. Now watch this. Here's my first point today, all right? I was looking at this one day and God just drilled me. I was looking through here and I did not see the gift of sharing your faith, okay, or the gift of witnessing, because it hit me really hard. Sharing your faith is not a gift. It's an issue of obedience or what? Disobedience. Does the Bible tell you to share your faith? Does it? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Preach the gospel in season and out of season. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel, Paul says. Think about that for a second, okay? Because one of the things is you're going to sit here and say, well, you know, I just don't have the gift that tall guy's got right there. I don't have the gift that Paul had, Peter had, Billy Graham had, Mark has. I don't have that gift. It's not a gift. It's an issue of obedience or disobedience. Then it hit me as I was thinking about this. You know what? The Bible talks about two types of sin. The sins of commission, the sins you commit, but the sins of what? Omission. James 4:17. If you know the good you ought to do and you don't do it, it is what? Sin. Watch this. You think the worst sin that you could get caught into, or your pastor or Dr. Brown get caught into, is that they got into adultery or they got cheating on their taxes, something like that. That's sin, trust me. I will tell you, one of the greatest sins that Christians can commit, we know an entire world needs this Jesus Christ. I've got it, but I won't what? I won't give it away to them. How selfish of a man can this man be when I see an entire world that needs it and I will not give it away to those people? I just spoke in Wichita, Kansas. I preached that morning. I gave 3 hours of teaching on how to share your faith that night at a church. I finished. A 60-year-old woman walks up to me afterwards, points her finger in my chest. She said, "Young man, I've got one thing to say to you." Now, I like that, okay? She's about to get to the point, okay? It may be good, it may be bad. I've had all kinds of things said, but, you know, she's about to say it. I said, "Well, yes, ma'am, what is that?" She said, "Thank you for your radical obedience to God. The Bible says to do it, and you go do it. Thank you very much." Shook my hand and turned and walked away. If that's all that woman got for 3 hours, amen and praise be to God. The Bible says to do it, why don't we just go do it? That simple, okay? First point. Second point. Genesis 13. Okay, the story of Lot and Abram. Watch what this says. "And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere." Lot lifted up his eyes. First question, can your eyes lie to you? Can your eyes lie to you? The Bible says that watch out for the lust of the eyes. We walk by faith, not by sight. See, sometimes that girl looks so good, that guy looks so good, that money looks so good. Careful, your eyes can take you on a journey you do not want to walk on. But watch what this says. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, this beautiful thing that he saw, what he didn't realize, it also included Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go towards Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself. If you make a himself or a herself choice, what type of choice are you making? Selfish choice. Can a Christian make a selfish choice? Can they? Can they? Well, let's be honest about it. We spend most of our time making selfish choices, if you want to know the truth. Okay, yes, we can make selfish choices. Is there danger when you make a selfish choice? Watch the danger. "And Lot chose for himself all the plain of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord." What Lot did not know when he looked with his eyes, it included this land called Sodom and Gomorrah, but he did not know how wicked that land was. Now watch what happens here. That's Genesis 13. I'm going to go to Genesis 19, and you think what I did was I rolled forward 6 or 7 chapters. I actually did, but what I actually did was rolled forward 20 years. 20 years of time has now passed. Can you imagine if we actually rolled forward 20 years? 2023? I wonder what America would look like in 2023. Can you imagine the day that's going to come? You're going to walk to your church on Sunday morning, and there's going to be locks on the door, and you can't go to your church on Sunday morning. Have you thought about that? We're heading that way in our culture. Have you thought about the fact when pedophilia is legal in America? Sex with kids is legal. Have you thought about that yet? Age of consent, where someone can do it, it's 16 in most states. It's 14 in Hawaii. Portugal or Spain is at 12. Thought about that yet? How about this hate crimes legislation? You know what's going to be a hate crime soon? It's going to be a hate crime soon to say that somebody's going to die and go to hell without Jesus Christ. Thought about it yet? 20 years. Well, if you don't understand that, just back up 20 years. Go to 1983. Some of you weren't even born yet. Okay? Ask your parents. Okay? Can you imagine adults in here, what we see on TV in prime time now that we haven't even thought about 20 years ago? Make it simpler. Talk with your grandparents. Go back to the late 50s, early 60s. Ask them. They'll tell you they didn't even lock the doors on their houses. They'd come home and there'd be people in their house getting eggs and sugar and stuff like that because your door was always open. I met a family the other day speaking. They left an empty plate at their table every night because they didn't know who was going to show up for dinner. People would just show up and eat dinner with their family and stuff like that. Do we live in that culture today? No. And here's why we don't. Watch the danger. Verse 1, "Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom." Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. Here's the danger. If you walk out of here today and you just sit in your classrooms, and you just sit at your malls, and you just sit at your coffee shops, okay, and you just sit at your football and basketball games, okay, and you just sit and take up space, here's the danger. Verse 32. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him that we may preserve the lineage of our father. Within 20 years of being in Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot's daughters thought it was an okay thing to do to get daddy drunk, rape him in order to continue the lineage of their family. Now you'd be sitting there saying, sir, why do you even bring that up? That doesn't happen in our culture today. Let me ask you a simple question. How many times in the last 10 years have you seen on TV or read in a newspaper about a teenager killing one or both of their parents? How many times? You can't even tell me how many times that's been, because you know what? And that's 1,000 times worse than what these two girls did right here, because you just sentenced somebody off to eternal destination. Okay? Think about that for a second. And here's the danger if that happens. And here's the point I want to make if you want to remember something. It's a simple motto I live by. If you do not engage the culture, trust me, that culture will engage you. If you do not engage the culture, that culture will engage you. Is that not a true statement? That is a true statement. That's our problem in our society today, okay? We're sitting back in our Christian colleges. We're sitting at our Bible studies. We're sitting at our Wednesday nights and our Sunday morning service, and then we will not engage the culture. And because we've decided not to engage the culture, Satan has said, thank you. And he's just pressing his agenda forward. In June, the last weekend in June every single year is the big gay and lesbian festival weekends around the country. That weekend in Atlanta throws the second largest gay and lesbian festival in America. Well, I go down every single year, okay, last 5 or 6 years. Why do I go? Why do I go? There's 200,000 people in my town throwing a party. There must be someone to talk about Jesus Christ, correct? Help me out, correct? Correct. Okay. So we go down every single year. The last couple years before that, what happened was the same weekend was Atlanta Fest, the big Christian rock and roll festival over here where we're just hanging out, mosh pitting and all this stuff, crowd surfing. And on this side of Atlanta is 200,000 to 300,000 people to gay and lesbian festival. But isn't that typical Christianity? Just separate. We'll go over here and have our little party over here. Why 300,000 people don't know the Lord over here? What if we grab some buses and grab these 20,000 people over here, went to this side of the town over here, walked around for probably take you only 2 hours when you had a one-on-one conversation with every single person, got back in our buses, walked over to this side of town, went back to our thing. We worship God just because he is, correct? Correct? We praise God for the things we see him do. Wouldn't you have something to praise God for? Wouldn't you have something to praise him for? Oh, yes, you would. Last year, I walked into the festival. I'm in the festival for 5 minutes. All of a sudden, I walk up to this guy, and he said, Mark, how you doing? He came up and gave me a hug. He's a 25-year-old gay gentleman named Javon. I met him 3 years ago at the festival. I met him there. I've seen him 2 other times downtown Atlanta. We've talked on the phone a couple times. We've emailed a couple times. I said, Javon, how's life? He said, Mark, life is great. Now, when people tell you this, is that always a true statement? Not always a true statement. I said, what do you mean life is great? He said, Mark, I got saved 4 months ago. I said, you what? He said, I got saved 4 months ago. I'm faithfully serving the Lord in Andy Stanley's church in Atlanta, Georgia. He said, I just got my 60-day chip. He has not drank alcohol for 60 days. He was pumped, man. You could see his face, man. He was excited. And he said, you know what, Mark? He said, Monday, 5 days early, he said, I just broke up with my boyfriend I was going with for 5 years. I don't care who you go with for 5 years. There's a huge emotional attachment. He was hurt, and you could see it on his face. He said, Mark, I don't know if God's going to ever get me to the point that I'm going to want to get married and have kids, but if God is calling me to a celibate lifestyle, I'm going to live that lifestyle. Can you give me some information on how to get out of this gay lifestyle? Now think about that for a second. I would have never had that story to tell you if I will not engage the culture that I live in, because you know what? Satan's just walking and marching forward. I've got the truth. He's got the lie. Why don't I stand up more for that? In Atlanta this year at the festival, I was in the festival and my conversations were kind of short. They weren't going super well. I sat down and prayed and I saw 6 people sitting over there. And so I said, Father, if I'm done eating, if they're still there, I want to chat with those folks. And so I finished eating, and boy, they were there. So I walked up, and I was doing a little survey approach. And I walked up to them, and as soon as I walked up, one girl walked away. I said, hey, can you help me out? I'm working on a project. They said, sure. I said, I'm asking the question, when you die, what do you think's on the other side? What do you think's out there when you walk out of here? All of a sudden, one guy said, wait a minute. He pointed to the girl on the cell phone. Michelle said, Michelle, come here right now. I didn't know what was going on. And he said, ask that question again. I said, okay. I said, when you die, what do you think's on the other side? What do you think's out there when you walk out of here? She looked and said, why do you ask that question? I said, well, I said, you know, I'm concerned about what people think about eternity, but I love my God. I love to talk about and have a conversation about to make sure I'm going to see you in heaven one day. All of a sudden, she looks at me and she says, we were just talking about that exact same question 1 week ago. Matter of fact, we're so concerned about eternity, we have a notebook where we're taking notes on what might be out there when we die. Think about this now. We sat there, me and 6 people talked for 1 hour and 15 minutes in the middle of this festival. At the end of the festival, Michelle looked at me and said, I want to tell you something. She said, you know what? I've been dying to find anybody that believes so strongly in their God, okay, that is so passionate about what they believe. And she says, I look in your eyes and I hear your voice and you are so passionate about this God that you believe in. I thought she was hearing my words during the time. She was looking at my countenance instead and got something else out of that. Think about that for a second. She emailed me 2 weeks later and wanted the book that I wrote because she wants more information on this stuff. Think about this now. I don't have that story if I do not engage the culture. There was a young man in the group, 21 years old, and I asked him a question. Remember when you study things in life, a lot of times you think you see a problem, but really it's just a symptom. Okay, homosexual lifestyle, the two main reasons people get into it, there's some sort of break in the same-sex relationship with the same-sex parent. So father to son, mother to daughter, there's a break in it, divorce, dad's always working, something like that. Or there's abuse when they were a kid, okay, and usually sexual abuse, and it begins to give them gender confusion, and they go down the road. 21-year-old guy in that group, I said, halfway, 30 minutes into the conversation, I said, hey, by the way, how's your relationship with your dad? He said, I hate my father. I said, you hate your father? What do you mean you hate your father? He said, my dad hit me so hard one time when I was a kid, I tripped over something and went out a window. His father knocked him out a window. He said, when I was a kid, my dad took his cigarettes and put them out on me when I was a kid. Can you imagine your hero, your daddy doing that to you as a kid? We kept talking. I said, by the way, I've heard the abuse. Was there any sexual abuse when you were a kid? He said, yes, there was. I said, if you feel comfortable, would you share that? He said, yeah. I said, I was 15 years old. I went to a Boy Scout camp, and another dad made an unwanted advance on me at 15, and I did not want that dad to do that. And ever since that day, I've had those thoughts about being with other guys. Homosexuals can pinpoint that time. He had huge tears welled up in his eyes. I met a 17-year-old boy that day. Any sexual abuse? He said, yeah, my uncle molested me for 3 years between the ages of 6 and 8 years old. Let me tell you something. These people have so much pain in their heart. My Bible says I can comfort them with the comfort I've been given, correct? Correct? 2 Corinthians 1. Haven't you been comforted by the blood of Jesus Christ? Have you not been? Have you not been? Or are you just going to sit here and sing songs about it while there's an entire world out there with so much pain in their life and you've got the answer to it and you will not give it away to these people? At the end of that time, I got to sit there and hug that 21-year-old guy with these tears welled up in his eyes because I was willing to engage him and minister into his life. Okay? If you do not engage that culture, trust me, that culture is going to engage you. You want a heavy piece of truth? Cedarville, here's a heavy piece of truth. I can guarantee you one thing that you can't do in heaven that you can do down here. Okay? You can worship God in heaven. You can praise God in heaven. You can sing songs to God in heaven. You can read your Bible in heaven. The Bible says it's going to be in heaven. But one thing you can't do in heaven that you can do down here is share your faith with a non-believer. Okay, why? Why? There's no non-believers there. Do you know from the day you die to the end of eternity, and there is no end of eternity, you'll never, ever, ever be able to share your faith with a lost person again? If that's true and you know it's true, shouldn't that be one of the high callings of our life is to reach out to all these lost people? Do you understand when I take my last breath with this body, I will never talk with a lost person again for all of eternity? That's a heavy piece of truth, okay? I do not say this in a cocky way. I just say it in a true way. I got a 4-year college basketball scholarship for one very simple reason. I can take that orange ball and I can put in that goal. I can shoot a ball pretty well. Okay, why can I shoot a ball pretty well? Why? Hours upon hours upon hours of what? Practice. That's all I did as a kid is shoot hoops. And you do it enough, you get halfway decent at it. Wait a minute. If I can't witness out there and I can only witness down here, what's the only way we'll ever get good at it is what? Is what? Help me out. Is what? Practice, because it's not a gift. It's just an issue of obedience or disobedience. And all this began to fit together, okay? Because I was witnessing to a guy named Jack who got divorced recently. 16-year-old, 13-year-old kid sat next to him on the plane flying in yesterday. I was practicing. When I fly back to Atlanta this weekend, I'm practicing because I've got to get better at this. But it's only going to happen when I get out there and start talking with these people. I've written a book called One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven. And it's just going to be out a year this month. It came out a year ago. And I've been absolutely humbled and stunned by what God's done with this book. This book is, I have emails from people who have never heard me speak before. 12-year-olds up to 80-year-olds who have read this book, put it down, or out sharing their faith in Jesus Christ. They have felt totally quit by reading this book. It breaks through the fear of rejection, and it tells you how. It teaches you how to get into conversations and stories with people. It just shows you how to do it. I'm a storyteller. I love to tell stories. So the book is loaded with people I've witnessed to, from Satanists to atheists. I got a chance to witness to Michael Jordan one time. Stories in the book for you. 4 weeks ago, I witnessed to Tiger Woods. I'm going to tell you the story tomorrow what happened as Tiger Woods began to open up and began to admit his sin. Okay? But the book is just how to do it, how to get into conversations. I have 7 emails at home from people that have said besides the Bible, it's the best book they ever read in their life. You know how humbling that is, considering I wanted to quit, college basketball player, and I wanted to quit 6 different times writing this thing. I did not want to write this thing. But only God can get the glory at the end of it. Don't you want to live a life where only God gets the glory at the end of it? Don't you really? A youth pastor in Kansas read this book, ordered 25 for everybody in his youth group. He got on a plane, took 21 of his youth, got on a plane, flew to South Beach in Miami for 4 days of witnessing on the streets of South Beach. He read this book and it totally, completely challenged him. And he said, our youth have to be out there engaging that culture. I got an email 2 weeks ago from a pastor. He woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning. And he said the Lord prompted him to read this book. Actually, a kid from a camp got it and gave it to him. And he got up at 5. He was finished by 8:30. Okay, you can read it in one day. It's not a textbook. It's just tons of stories on how to do it. So I love to tell stories. He was finished by 8:30. At 8:30 in the morning, he said he was on his knees weeping. And he wrote in the email, he said, why do I not have a heart for the lost like Peter and Paul and the people of the Bible do? Then he says, why doesn't my church have a heart for the lost like the people in the book of Acts do? And he said, that's going to change. You heard of Jeff Foxworthy, the comedian? You heard of him? I picked up the phone the other day. It was Jeff Foxworthy. He said, Mark Cale. I said, yep. He said, Jeff Foxworthy. I said, I can tell. You know, he's got that great voice, you know. And he said, dude, I love your book. I said, what do you mean? Someone gave him my book. And he said he was in Salt Lake City doing a comedy gig. He said, I got to my hotel room at 2 o'clock in the morning. I had 6 chapters left of your book. He said, I did not go to bed till I finished. I'm reading it a second time. He said, would you pray for my boldness? He became a Christian a couple years ago, but he wanted more boldness in sharing that. And he said, how do I get a case of these to give my friends? I got to send him a whole case of books the other day. Okay, I got a bunch of these books back there on a table for you back there. And as you'll see, there's no price tag on the book. Okay, I hope that the day I die, I never put a price tag on a book ever. Okay, it's a $12 or $13 book. If you want to give that, fine. If you do not have that much, you want to give less, that's fine. Okay, if you want to give more to help me do what I do around the country, great. If you want to take it today and there's an address on the back and send money in later, you can do that. I had a kid at Indiana Wesleyan, took it in March, got a summer job, sent me money 6 months later. If I can trust kids at Indiana Wesleyan, I know I can trust y'all, so I'm not worried about it. And I even go this far. If any of you are struggling financially, you've paid your college bills, you've done your tithes, and you do not have any extra money for financial reason, you can walk back there, you can take it for free. I'll give it to you. It's on me. I'll give it to you for free. For financial reason, okay? And don't you feel guilty doing that, okay? Because I just told you you could for financial reason. Why would I do that, all right? I'm crazy. Okay, I'm crazy. I'm getting crazier in a biblical way. I want 6 billion people saved. And it's not going to happen unless all of us who claim the name of Jesus Christ walk out and stand up for what we believe. Does that make sense? Make sense? Every second, 7 people die. By the time you put your head on your pillow tonight, over 600,000 people have walked off into eternity, heaven or hell as we speak. Simple question for you, Cedarville. Do you care? Much, much, much tougher question, though. Do you care enough to do something about it? I'm going to ask it one more time. If you feel comfortable, I want you to verbally respond, okay? And if you don't feel comfortable, don't. That's between you and the Lord, okay? Every second, 7 people die. By the time you put your head on your pillow tonight, over 600,000 people will have walked off into eternity, heaven or hell as we speak, okay? If you feel comfortable, I want you to verbally respond, okay? Simple question. Do you care? A little bit tougher question, okay? Do you care enough to do something about it? Okay? I'm going to be very honest because I'm a nice guy, okay? That's sad. That's sad. I'll go ahead and tell you. I've spoken at churches with 100 people that were louder than that. And it's always the same, loud on the first and more quiet on the second, and that's the difference, isn't it? That's the difference. You can swear to the high heavens you care, but if you don't care enough to talk with somebody, trust me, you do not care. If there's anything in your system that you do not want to walk out of here and share your faith, you walk back there and take a book free. I'm giving it to you, okay? There's people at gay and lesbian festivals that need so desperately to hear from you. There's people at Antioch that so desperately need to hear from you. And you're keeping it to yourself. As I did. Selfish. I gotta be selfless. Pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for a great chance to be here. Father God, I ask you to take your Holy Spirit and stir something up in this room, Father God. Stir something up on this campus that we're much more concerned about the lost than turning our paper in on time. We're much more concerned if 6 billion people know you, Father, instead of our GPA and what it's going to look like. Father God, stir something up in here that when it's all said and done, only you get the glory because you're God and you're the only one that deserves it. And Father, we thank you for it. And we ask in the great name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.